Yashodanandana Vajajanaranjana. Yamuna Tiravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari E Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Vishnupad Paramsa Parakachaya Sutta Sutta Shri Shimade Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Samavita Bhaktavinda Ki Jai All glories to the Assembly Devotees All glories to the Assembly Devotees All glories to the Assembly Devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga All glories to Shri Prabhupada Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. Before we recite the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances to the personality of Godhead Narayan and to Narayan Rishi, the supremest human being, and to Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and to the author Srila Vyasadeva. And today we are reading from the third canto, I believe it's called the Status Quo. We are reading from chapter 17, the victory of Hiranyaksha. And we are on text 17. I need my glasses. Divish Prisho Ema Kirita Kotibir. Niruda kasta osfurad angada bujo. Gam kampayanto charanam padi padi. Katya suchachar kyam atitya tastatu. Chant.
Divish prisho ema kirita koti bir.
Sampayantu Charanam Padi Padi. Katya Sukanchar Kamati Tiatas Tatu. Divish Priso Ema Kirita Kotibir. Niruda Kasto Surad Angada Bujo. Gam Kampayanto Charanam Pade Pade. Divish Piso Ema Kirita Kotibir. Niruda Kastaus Purat Angada Bujo. Gam Kampayato Charanai Pade Pade. Katya Sukansha Kamatitya Tas Tutel. Divish Priso. Touching the sky. Emma. Golden. Kirita. Of their helmets. Kotibi, with the crests, Niruda, blocked, Kastau, the directions, Surat, brilliant, Angada, bracelets, Bujo, on those arms, Gam, the earth, Kampayanto, shaking, Charanai, with their feet, paddy paddy, at every step, Katya, with their waists, Sukanchia, with beautiful decorated belts, Arkham, the sun, Atitya, surpassing, Tas Tatu, they stood. Translation, their bodies became so tall that they seemed to kiss the sky with the crest of their gold crowns. They blocked the view of all direction, and while walking shook the earth at every step. Their arms were adorned with brilliant bracelets, and they stood as if covering the sun with their waists, which were bound with excellent and beautiful girdles. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In a demoniac way of civilization, people are interested in getting a body constructed in such a way that when they walk on the street, the earth will tremble, and when they stand, it will appear that they cover the sun and the vision of the four directions. If a race appears strong in body, their country is materially considered to be among the highly advanced nations of the world. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyanajala Shalakaya Shakshu Unmilitandyanatas My Shri Gurave Namah. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful senses unto him. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvese Shyashunya Vadipas Chachade Jatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We can read together. Their bodies became so tall that it seemed to kiss the sky with the crest of their gold crowns. They blocked the view of all directions and while walking shook the earth at every step. Their arms were adorned with brilliant bracelets. And they stood as if covering the sun with their vests, which were bound with excellent and beautiful girdles. Hare Krishna. So it's quite an interesting description. And when I read that description, so many things came to my mind. But the first thing is how formidable the demons are. And I was thinking, like, what a beautiful description. You know, like, if we didn't know anything. Let's say we didn't know anything. We will think, like, this is an amazing presentation of some extraordinary personalities. And it is. They are very extraordinary. And the devotees, like Maitreya Rishi narrating, and Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami, because they are not on a platform of duality, they do glorify the demon's qualities, because they don't see in terms of, you know, a person is completely bad or a person is completely good. They can see the qualities. Why? Because they can see them coming from Krishna. So in the seventh canto also, Hiranyakashipu is described as someone extraordinarily intelligent. He's very, very intelligent. Also, he's very learned. If we remember when he was speaking with Diti, his mother, he quoted so many parts of the Shastra. He really knows the Shastra. And in a sense, when we see that, it could help us come to a platform of understanding that there is no material qualification. It's not about material qualification. Because demons, like those demons or other demons, they can be very powerful. They can even be very renounced. Like we can see sometimes people do extraordinary austerity sacrifice. And they can be even very, very intelligent, superiorly intelligent. They can even be very, very learned in the Shastra. So none of those qualities are qualification to get bhakti. And those examples help us, you know, at least it helped me, first becoming humble, because whatever a quality I have, it's puny in comparison to many demons. and then to realize that this is not, you know, there is no qualification that I can acquire that will lead me closer to Krishna, in a sense, beside developing a pure heart of love and devotion and serving the Lord. Even my erudition is not going to help me. My intelligence is not going to help me. Whatever beauty I may have, or whatever wealth I may have, or fame I may have, is not going to help me. So in those descriptions of the power and intelligence and renunciation of the demons, we can, you know, come in contact with that reality and coming in to a place of humility. And then here Srila Prabhupada is quite humoristic. And the first sentence of the purport, in getting a body constructed in such a way that when they walk on the street, the earth will tremble, and when they stand, it will appear that they cover the sun and the vision of the four directions. I was thinking, come on, Srila Prabhupada, nobody thinks like that. And then, you know, I remember what came to my mind is I remember how Srila Prabhupada sometimes he described envy. And he said, when we are envious, then we are happy at the suffering of others. And then we are very, very sad at the happiness of others. And he said, and of course we don't say that. So So I was thinking the same here, that yeah, I can see like with a six pack, you know, abdominal, you know, body and big muscle, that maybe the mentality is that you know, like the earth will shook, and I will, you know, even like block the ray of the sun because I'm so important. And in a sense, you know, in Kali Yoga, divine and demoniac nature are in one body. So in a sense, we can take a look like how much when we are in any position, in any place, we tend to go to a place where we imagine that we, you know, maybe not make the earth tremble, but maybe think like, I'm probably the most important person around, that nobody is more important than me. Or think like nobody is more powerful than me or intelligent, you know, on and on, any of the opulence. So that self-centeredness, it's a symptom. It's a symptom of the demoniac mentality. Of course, Sri Krishna said very well in the Bhagavad Gita. I don't know by heart, so I need to find the verse. In chapter 16, there is that the verse where Sri Krishna similarly speak about the mentality of the demons. And we could also say the same. Nobody think like that. But in reality, maybe we don't think, but we act, or we have consciousness that's perverted by this kind of self-absorption. So the demoniac person think, so much wealth do I have today, and I will get more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future, more and more. He's my enemy, and I have to kill him. And my other enemy will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man, surrounded by aristocracy's relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. That's really a symptom. Everybody think I'm the most happy person. Like we just open Facebook, and we see there is only happy family and happy people and no problem in relationship. And it's as if life was like we have it on Facebook. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity. And thus I shall rejoice. So here we see that... of course, giant Vijay, they came because of the Lord's plan. They are eternally servant of the Lord, like we all are eternal servant of the Lord. And specifically, they fell from Vaikuntha by the desire of the Lord to fulfill, you know, different purpose, and being only able to be killed by Vishnu, which is quite extraordinary personalities. And they were blessed. They were blessed that they wouldn't forget the Lord. And how they wouldn't forget the Lord? By being angry with him. And it's true, like, when we are angry at someone, like, let's say, you know, I have something happening, some snag, blah, 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 with someone. I cannot take that person off my mind. It's very easy to eat and breathe and do everything I do throughout the day, meditating on that person. So that's a boon. And of course, we also know that even so, it's a boon to be able to meditate and to think and to remember Krishna all the time. If we do that in a way that's not favorable for the Lord, this is not pure devotional service. But for giant Vijay, they are the special boom. But it's not something to be followed. Even so, by remembering the Lord in anger, we do get liberation if we are fully absorbed in that way, like Kamsa.
Anyhow, so so we want to compare, like, okay, what do we do with any material opulence? Here is strength, bodily strength. The bodily strength is very important. Like, I did some research about bodybuilding, and I was surprised to see that he started in the 1800s with some layer of the population. But he was made popular around everyone, even around society, in the 1980s. So not so long ago, that having big muscle is a mark of power. It's a mark of respect. It's a mark of importance. And Srila Prabhupada make another comment at the end of his purport. He said, "If a race appears strong in body, their country is materially considered to be among the highly advanced nations of the world." So I grew up in France, and in France we have a stereotype about American. And in France, in Europe, we do understand the supremacy of American, that they are ruling the world, not necessarily like we agree with what they do, not necessarily that we like it, but we have to just admit that American are ruling the world. It's going to go down. Like, Egyptians are not ruling the world anymore, and even the Roman Empire is not. So America at one point won't do that anymore. But the stereotypes that we had identifying with the body is that every American look like a football player, like big and squared and with big muscle. So, you know, we can see the truth about what Srila Prabhupada said, because it's an advanced nation in the world, and the stereotype is that Americans have a big body, which is interesting to think about it in terms of evolution, you know, because originally they are all from Europe, and how come the body developed in a different way? Anyway, that's another conversation about the desire of the American to have that supremacy and creating different shape of body. And then another, you know, like to substantiate Srila Prabhupada sentence here, what came to my mind is Hitler. And that's really far out, because Hitler was raggedy and looking like a Jewish man, dark hair, dark eyes. And then he convinced the whole population, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, that the supremacy of Germany will come when a class of what he called Aryan, of course, through the Bhagavad Gita we understand Aryans are those who give their life, surrendered to Krishna. And Hitler's understanding was Aryan are a specimen of human being that are very strong in body, very healthy, strong, and blonde hair, blue eyes. He did all kind of scheme to develop that population of people looking like that, because he had that understanding. Interestingly, you know, the Hitler story kind of always kind of go back and forth with the Veda in some way or another. But interestingly, he had that sense that the power of the world, the powerful nation of the world, will be made of men that look like the Greek gods. The Greek gods also had big muscle and all that. So, you know, that's something to meditate, how human beings are so easily confused to be able to follow a leader that preached to them about a superior population and did all kind of atrocity in the name of creating that population. Even so, he looked so far away from that population. There was no acharya there. He looks completely the opposite of what he was preaching. Anyhow, so that's the material power misused. And so when someone have any of the opulence, usually they're made for sense quantification. And Srila Prabhupada often say, and sense quantification means sex. Like everything is run by sex. I had a friend, she was teaching in Gurukul in Vancouver. And she was teaching girls, teenage girls. And the teenage girls were like, no way. You know, like, no way. People are not run by sex. So she decided, okay, let's see. And then they created a questionnaire. And they were in the street. And they asked their questionnaire to people, why are you doing what you're doing? And, you know, how come? And try to really go to the bottom line. And they came back to the ashram saying, oh, Srila Prabhupada is correct. Everything is run by sex. And so they were convinced by that. And, you know, often we can do experiments with any of Srila Prabhupada's teaching, you know, as long as it's the part of the teaching that describes the prison house. And we will, you know, we will find that, yeah, this is accurate. Of course, the part of the teaching is like two-track. The part of the teaching that's transcendental, then that's a part that when we accept that, yeah, he can describe the prison house, then we accept that he can also describe and we can receive the description of transcendence. So a devotee, a difference between a Vaishnava and a demon, or a demon and a divine, is that whatever opulence a devotee receives, he knows that it's all coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and just an opportunity for gratitude. And so the demons use for gratification. They want to aggrandize themselves. Their opulence usually feed their false identification and it separates them from God, because the stronger I am, the more easy it is for me to think I am God. And for the devotee, the same strength will come to like, oh, Krishna gave me strength to use it for his service. And also a devotee, when he sees strength, he comes to a place like, you know, I have no qualification to have that strength. And we can see that in the story of Arjuna. Arjuna was the greatest warrior of in time. He was so fierce and nobody could conquer him. Like during the whole battle of Kurukshetra, he did like, you know, fight in a way that nobody could even equal him, even so there was so many mighty warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And of course when he fought with Indra, and so many pastimes. And as soon as the Lord withdrew, then Arjuna didn't have any power anymore. So a devotee, when he's powerful, he knows it's nothing to do with me. It's just the Lord using me as his instrument, and to use me as his instrument, he gave me power, he gave me intelligence, he gave me kindness, he gave me any of the opulences that are desirable by materialistic views. And then when the devotee sees that, wow, Krishna is using this body, I'm a servant of Krishna, is using his body, then naturally the false identification, the false ego tend to shrink. And we see that example of mighty devotees like Hanuman, with son of Vayu. He was so strong that he was able to fly with a mountain to serve Lakshman, to go and rescue Lakshman. And of course, he carried with so many boulders to build up the bridge to go to Lanka. And then Bhima also is connected with Vayu. And Bhima is so, there is a book I read recently about Draupadi. Don't remember the title of the book, but it's all about Draupadi. And throughout the pastime, throughout that book, the devotee, she highlights the fact that Bhima was the one who was protecting Draupadi. In so many situations, he killed even a few people to protect the honor of Draupadi. And And then there is another example of a Vaishnav that was extremely, extremely powerful, a disciple of Vyasadeva, Madhavacharya. Madhavacharya, who is like, we are in a Madhva Sampradaya. And Madhvacharya, he was so strong. Once he challenged a person was very proud. I imagine that person thinking that when he walked, the earth trembled. His name was Kadanjari, something like that, Kadanjari. And he was as strong as 30 men, it says, as strong as 30 men. And Madhvacharya, he challenged him to just lift his little toe, put his toe on the ground, and he said, lift my toe from the ground. And then Kadanjari tried and tried and tried, and he couldn't lift Madhvacharya's toe from the ground. And Madhvacharya, he wasn't proud. He didn't do that to show his prowess. He did that to allow that person to surrender, to see that physical strengths all come from Krishna and can be taken away from Krishna and is going to be taken away by time. So demons believe in their own strengths, and devotees know they have no strengths. So that's the difference. And when we face life, and there is so many opportunity to practice that, isn't it? Sometimes we have problems, situations that come to our life, and we have so many opportunity to see, am I trying to solve this problem on my own? Am I approaching this life situation thinking my own strength is going to resolve it? Or am I approaching the situation knowing I have no strengths and Krishna is going to resolve it the way Krishna wants to resolve it? And of course, in that situation, life becomes a lot easier than feeling the burden of needing to solve so many difficulties in our life. So when also we look at power, the most powerful human being, they are Brahmans, Brahma Teja. And pastime that can remind us of that is the pastime with King Vena. Vena was feared by feared personified. He was so cruel. And he was such a powerful king, oppressing the population and constantly hurting people. And with a fire sacrifice, gone, finished. Just with some mantras, he was finished. So even the physical strengths can be completely annihilated by spiritual strengths and Brahman, you know, the strengths of the Brahman. So now we are hearing about the pride of the demons, and we can also look at the pride of the devotees. And I'm thinking that by cultivating the pride of a devotee, that's the best way to develop humility. So let's consider developing humility through pride. And yes, that's something that amused me. So if we look at the pride of a devotee, it can be also synonymous to the confidence of a devotee. So part of surrendering Sharanagati is to have full confidence that the Lord is going to protect me. That's an item of surrender. So that's surrender, it means full confidence. I'm proud. I'm proud to be the servant of a master who is going to protect me every moment. And I'm proud of that. And same thing, Sharanagati, to have full confidence the Lord maintains me. And it sounds arrogant, is it? No, the Lord is going to maintain me. But that's part of surrender. That's part of developing humility, to be proud in that way, that yes, the Lord is going to maintain me. The Lord is maintaining me, and there is nobody else maintaining me. And so real pride in a sense, is associated with real humility, because what we call pride is false pride. And we want to be aware of false humility also. So real pride. And like Lord Chaitanya, he pray, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitamam Vishame Bhavam Budu Kripaya Tava Padapankaja Stita Duliv Shadrisham Vichintaya. That sounds so arrogant, he said, like, I am your eternal servitor. You know, like, it can sound like if I said to a devotee, I am the eternal servitor of the Lord. And we want to have that confidence. We do. That's a kind of arrogance that's welcome in spiritual life. I am an eternal servant of Krishna. And somehow or other, I have fallen in this ocean of birth and death. And so please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atom at your lotus feet. So like there is such a combination of pride, like I am an eternal servant, and bless me as an atom at your lotus feet, like humility. And like no matter what you do at the end, the last verse of the Shikshastakam, you know, you can whatever you do, I'm your eternal servant. Whatever you do, I'm here. I accept. And so I did some research in Srila Prabhupada's books about the many ways devotees can be proud. And even in a Nectar of Devotion, there is ecstatic love in pride. That's elevated, but also on our level. A humble person are always aware of that all their assets are gifts from God. So Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Sattvarup Maharaj, Bombay, January 1975. Everyone should feel proud of his particular type of devotional service. That does not mean that other type of service are inferior. Everyone should feel proud of becoming sincere servant of Krishna. But the pure devotee never minimizes the importance of other devotees. Krishna is the enjoyer of varieties of service. So Srila Prabhupada said we should be proud. We should be proud. That's how the devotee sees. Again, it's not in duality. Nothing is in duality for the pure devotee. Like pride, yeah, pride, of course, false pride is very detrimental for spiritual life. And pride can be very helpful for spiritual life. Maharaj, another from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, Verse 13. Maharaj Parikshit felt proud, therefore, that he happened to be the descendant of such a great devotees. Such a prize for the devotee of the Lord is certainly not equal to the puffed up sense of vanity for material prosperity. The first is reality, whereas the other is false and vain. And then there is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, even Christian priests are greatly surprised that all these boys from Jewish and Christian family have joined this Krishna consciousness movement before joining the never regarded any principles of religion seriously. But now they have become sincere devotees of the Lord. Everywhere people express this astonishment, and we take great pride in the transcendental behavior of our students. So we want to also make Srila Prabhupada pride. He's proud. He's proud of us. And we want him to be proud of us. We want to act like Vaishnav. We want to have that confidence. We want to be in the world as Vaishnav in such a way that Prabhupada will be proud of us, that we'll make a mark, that when we enter anywhere, that the ground will shake and that the sun will appear brighter in the room where anywhere we enter, that people will see us and want to take shelter of us. And then there is a conversation where Srila Prabhupada say, yes, you should be proud. You should feel proud. I am working for Krishna very nicely. And the laughter of the devotee. We don't reject anything, even this pride. Yes, I am greater servant of Krishna. Yes, I am proud. That pride is nice. Yes. And then there is a pastime. Maybe we won't go too much into it, but a pastime I really like is the pastime of Vritrasura. He's a demon. Externally, he's a demon, and inside, he's the greatest devotee, Vritrasura. And when he fights with Indra, he kind of teases Indra, and he makes himself so arrogant. He's so arrogant. Anyway, I'm going back to Godhead. Anyway, I'm going back to Godhead. Whatever you do, I'm going back to Godhead. And he's so arrogant like that, and it's so beautiful. And Vritrasura's pride doesn't necessarily stem from arrogance or desire for personal glory, but from a strong sense of self-awareness, conviction in his devotional path, and courage in facing his ultimate destiny. Even in his role as a demon, his unwavering faith in Lord Vishnu and his philosophical insights stand out, setting him apart as a complex of integrating character in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, you know, like thinking about it, low self-worth has nothing to do with humility. Low self-worth is the other side of false pride. So a devotee, in a sense, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he say, I'm lower than the worm in the stool. And at the end of every chapter, he say, he's empowered by the Goswamis to write this books, Chaitanya Charitamrita. How do we combine the two? And that's where, you know, humility can stem from being proud. And then on the transcendental level, I will just read one. On the transcendental, sometime Radharani felt pride within herself and said, so Radharani feels pride. Although the coward boys prepare nice flower garland for Krishna, when I present my garland to him, he becomes struck with wonder and immediately accept it and put it on his heart. So on a transcendental platform, you know, we have seen different, like how to meet ourselves where we are at. And we also see, like, on a spiritual platform, Srimati Radharani and all the transcendental associates of the Lord, they also feel proud. And that pride is so, 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 so pleasing to Sri Krishna. It's like part of pastime. It's part of the rasa with Sri Krishna. So I'm going to stop here, but Shri Prabhupada said in Nectar of Devotion, it's the 29th chapter. In other one, one who has taken complete shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord is always proud of being able to conquer all enemies. And on that, I'm going to conclude our life. So let's cultivate humility by being proud of being the servant of an illustrious master. Hare Krishna. Kantura Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
I thoroughly enjoy your class. You know, I was thinking, with this, when a child is small, you know, of course a child is small, and he's standing with his father, and this person come, a huge person, you know, an adult, he's intimidated, I mean, you know, completely scared. But then he turned to his father and he said, oh, I'm not scared. My father is here to protect me. So it's easy to understand why this demon, you know, when they come, you know, they're huge and you can easily be scared. So I could see, because they were totally into their bodily thing, this is how they're going to get power. But for a devotee, it's internal, so they don't care about the body. It's having the unity with Krishna in the heart. So even a small person, a small Vaishnava can bring a big demon down like Prahlad. You mm-hmm. know, he had complete confidence in Krishna, complete. And he was able, Hiranyakashipu even said, even Lord Indra, the demigods are afraid of me. And you, a little thing, you're not afraid. You know, so when you have that confidence in Krishna, you can stand up to anything, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was using the child with the be parent, because that's how we feel Krishna. When we have understanding who Krishna is, then it's easy to get that confidence, or like you said, a pride, that Krishna is there to protect me. And the example I was thinking too, and when we are doing work for Krishna, of course we have that, you know, confidence and our pride, you call it. And when Prabhupada was challenged, so you, who are you? You know, you're sitting on the Vyasasan, who are you? And Prabhupada said, I'm a fifth class man. When it comes to himself, he's like, I'm nothing. Mm-hmm. But when he's talking with Krishna, he is there. You know, he's very strong, and he can speak loudly and call them demons and call them things, because on behalf of Krishna. But when he's challenged as to his own self-worth, he go, I'm nothing. I'm a fifth class person. And the same thing with Krishna Kaviraj. You know, he's talking about Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. Of course, you know, when we read it, we appreciate his humility, because we can feel that because of the humility, he's able to say the highest philosophy, you know. So we can tell when somebody is humble for the right reason, and when they are not, like you said, Prabhupada, nobody is that fallen, because we're talking about ourselves. But in relation to Krishna, you can feel it, you know, feel in the heart, this is right, you know. Prabhupada also told a Gurukul child one time, he was always raising his hand up, and he was saying, I know the answer, I know the answer. So the teacher went to Prabhupada and said, what should I do with this child? He's always, you know, and Prabhupada said, is he right when he give the answer? He said, so Prabhupada said, recognize that he is, you know, he is doing it the right thing. He is right, so accept him. Don't put him down, don't, you know, for the wrong reason, you know. So anyhow.
Thank you. Thank you for all those examples. Excellent example, like a child holding the, you know, feeling secure by holding the hand of his father. And, you know, a child will be proud. This is my daddy. You know, I'm small, and I'm scared. But this is my daddy, and I'm proud. And I believe that in a past time with Prahlad Maharaj is also an excellent example, that Hiranyakashipu tell Prahlad Maharaj, you are arrogant. He say, you know, what arrogance you have, you know, like, and because Prahlad Maharaj is, you know, so proud that he has his daddy, like, you know, is faithful to the Lord, surrendered to the Lord, believing fully in the Lord's protection. So he has no fear in front of his father, and he looks from Hiranyakashipu's point of view, he looks like arrogance. And at the same time, Prahlad doesn't think of himself very highly. Yeah. He's fully loving towards his father. Yeah, he doesn't have enmities. He doesn't have enmities towards his father. He can see, like, okay, my father is also a part and parcel of Krishna. And thank you for adding to our class. Hare Krishna. Yes.
This is an interesting topic for me, because I feel like I struggle a lot with pride, the lack of humility, and cultivating low self-esteem over my life in an attempt, a failed attempt to cultivate humility. So it's something that's always kind of been in me, in my process. Oftentimes it seems like when we are referencing examples of transcendental pride and humility, it feels to me like the discussion is about the symptom of something that's much deeper inside. And for me, put it in an example, like Prahlad. It almost seemed like when Prahlad's praying to Nrisingadev or Narayan, Vishnu, he's really humble. Who am I? Who am I? Like, why do you? But when he is somehow like preaching or talking to others, he has so much pride on behalf of Krishna. And like in that example, it's really easy to see the differentiation of where that pure line exists. But with me, it feels very false to speak with such humility. It doesn't necessarily feel so sincere. And so it seems a lot like to me it's somehow connected to my identification with my body, and maybe like as my faith matures, I might let go of some of that identification with body, and my pride becomes less about what I have and more about this faith in Krishna because he's everything. And so I'm just curious, like, if that seems to be an accurate understanding or not, and also if I feel like I can't necessarily cultivate humility and let go of pride by just saying this is all from Krishna, Krishna's giving, you know, all by the mercy of Krishna, like these sayings that we have to try and transfer like credit, like if just saying these things don't feel so accurate or pure to me, like what else can I do to try and cultivate that in some way? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you for your question. And you know, within your question, there is so much humility, you know, of you speaking here to the community of Alachua devotees and beyond, and you're seeing, okay, yes, there is that dichotomy between, you know, like the different manifestation of false identification. One manifestation of false identification is, I want to take credit for whatever I achieve, of course, or my qualities, or my capability. And another manifestation of false identification is like wanting to pick myself up in low self-worth, I'm so bad, and guilt and shame and blame and all that, and that dichotomy, and like how to step out of both. And to do that in a way that's authentic. You know, of course, practice makes perfect, and like you say, as we practice Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna, you know, like chanting and chanting and chanting more, and cleansing the heart, that, you know, in itself is sufficient, reading Srila Prabhupada's book. And truthfulness is the last leg of religion. So honesty is so connected with humility. To be able to, instead of going into guilt, shame, blame, which kind of is a way to avoid honesty, you know, it's a way to cover honesty, to just, you know, come to a place, yeah, I am not that clean. Yes, I am not that surrendered or renounced. Yes, I do. I envy in my heart. And to just allow the truth to be acknowledged, you know, within yourself. Or, you know, in the Catholic Church, there is part of their sadhana, there is confessional, and I believe that it's an intrinsic part of spiritual life. You know, Srila Rupa Goswami, he tells us, revealing our mind in confidence and receiving the mind of others in confidence. So when we do reveal our mind in confidence in that way, then what naturally manifests is an expansion of the soul, an expansion of the soul of like feeling that small and helpless and hopeless, and from that position, surrendering to the greatness of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna in a way that leads us to glorify them. And like, even so, I am so low, you still allow me to serve you. How wonderful of a master you are. So truthfulness, last leg of religion, Srinvatam Swagata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Vidyantasto Yabhajwani Vidu Notis, which that, you know, Krishna with the super soul inside your heart, clean the heart of the truthful devotee. So when we are truthful, revealing our mind to Srila Prabhupada, to Krishna, to another devotee, then through that revealing of the mind with honesty, we get to grow and we get to free ourselves. Thank you for your question.
You know, it's she reminded me of myself when I first came in the movement. I was very shy, you know, and it asked me to go on book distribution. And I said, what is book distribution? It said, you have to go out and talk to people. one thing I love to read, and I read everything that was published by Prabhupada when I first came. I wouldn't go out, I just read. So I said, okay, I'll go. So Sri Purari Maharaj took me out, and he said, I'll watch him, you know, how he was distributing. And so we walked up to a person, and he said, okay, you give, preach, you give him this book. I go, I thought I was going to watch you. And he said, no, I want you to think. And I still remember, I said, sir, what's your goal in life? You know, and the guy said, what? And anyhow, I start talking, and I actually forget who I was, you know, like a woman there that I was shy. I couldn't. 15 minutes later, the guy took a book, you know, give a donation, and I go, wow, I can do that, you know. Of course, the pride came right back. That I did it, you know. But when I was preaching, I completely forgot. And later on that day, I was thinking, this was the best moment of my life. I didn't think who I was. I was just talking about the book. I probably told him everything I read in the book in the 15 minutes. But I remember the question I asked him, what's your goal in life? And he turned and he said, that's book distribution. And if you learn this book distribution, all your bad qualities will go away and you will rise to the top. So I did book distribution for the rest of my life, and it has changed my life. Because every time you approach somebody, you completely forgot, you know, I am this woman, I'm this, I'm that, you know, and sir, please take this book. You become, without making an effort, you become very humble, you know, because you're not thinking of you, and you're thinking, I want this soul to take this book, you know. And every day, all I could think of, I want to go out and book distribution, even though I wasn't thinking like that. I want to, because it makes me forget about this bodily concept. Mm-hmm. I mean, later on, now I'm thinking, you know, and actually, every book distributor you've met, they always talk about distributing book, even though they're not doing it now or something. It's changed their lives. It puts you on a plane that you're not on the bodily concept of life. And after a while, you start thinking, I'm a spirit soul, I'm out here to help Prabhupada with this mission. And oh, it's joyful. Mm-hmm. It really is joyful, because after each one, even somebody's, you know, you may talk to them for 10, 20 minutes or 1 minute, and they may or may not take a book. But that became immaterial, because, you know, and that's another thing, you're not attached to the result. But when you're talking to them, you feel like, I don't know, you feel like you're there with Krishna, mm-hmm. and you're giving them this book. And so many stories book distributors will tell you that really help them to raise their faith, things that you know is really beyond your control. You know, I don't want to take up all the time, but one thing really changed my mind in book distribution. I mean, really, mm-hmm. one thing has really stood out.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It's so appropriate, Srila Prabhupada's mission, so much about distributing his books. And, you know, like, if we distribute his book with pride, we are going to be smashed to the ground, too. Because something will happen that will remind us that, you know, like, help us face our pride. And it's going to be very, very difficult. So that surrender that you're speaking about is that surrender to be an instrument of Krishna. And then Krishna speak to your mouth. And at the time, you didn't think you could do it. You were shy. And then somehow you got empowered and you found the confidence. And then people took books and you felt purified. Like when I go on Sankirtan, I don't go very often on book distribution. I wish I will go more, but I'm not. I feel like I just took a cold shower afterwards. It feels so clean. Thank you so much for your example. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Gwanturaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol.